Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, Ephesians chapter 5. Would appreciate your prayers this week. My wife and I will be preparing a week from tomorrow to go to Thailand, and we have an opportunity there. She has an opportunity to speak for a missionary ladies' retreat in the capital city of Bangkok, and then we'll also spend a weekend with the Williams and the work there, and I'll be speaking about some principles about walking with God. And as I was working on some of those things and studying some of those things, I ran across a thought, and it's a thought that I'll just have to be honest with you has really changed my life and continues to change my perspective on things. I want to share that with you. I quickly realized in my studies there was no way this would work as far as presenting it in Thailand, just because a lot of other things, and we only have a three-day opportunity or conference there at the end of, I guess, 2 weeks from this week. So there wasn't enough time for it, but it was just a thought that just kind of came out fresh and anew, and I would really like to share that with you tonight from the Scriptures. And so we'll read in Ephesians chapter 5. You already see the title there. I want to speak to you tonight about God's requirement for change, which is transparency. If you look there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul writes, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The sentence actually continues there in verse 10, proving what is that acceptable unto God. We'll go back and deal with that parenthesis in verse 9. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit, if we walk as children of light, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Skip to verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Heavenly Father, would you bless this time in your word? Would you teach us? Would you open our hearts? Lord, you know that this is something that has meant a lot to me personally and has been a great help to me spiritually. And Lord, I pray that it would be a help and an encouragement tonight to everyone that's here, that you would teach us from your word some principles that we can make very real application in our lives and see the fruit from it, see the benefit from it. Direct my words, I pray, and thoughts here tonight, and I ask this in your Son's name. Amen. You know, one of the principles of the Christian life, the reality is when God brought you to salvation, that was the starting place of your walk with God. That was where things began. But that is, as we just mentioned, that's where things begin. It's not where things end, it's where things commence. And then what God wants to do in your life is God wants to change you. Yes, he radically transformed your heart. He radically transformed your eternity when you came to Christ. But then that work of sanctification has only just begun. God wants change in your life. And that's something that we need to understand, we need to realize. He says that in verse number 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light." All right, there's a change that's taken place, and now I want further change in your life. Walk as children of light. And so if you're saved, you've experienced the change that comes at salvation, but that's only the beginning. Now God wants to change, and he wants change in your life. We mentioned this is part of salvation. You see it in Acts chapter 26, verse number 18, that in salvation he opens our eyes and he turns us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. That turn, that change from darkness to light. Another familiar verse, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, that commands us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 8 and verse 29 tells us that whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. There's a change word again, conformed into the image of his Son. If you are saved, if you are born again and you have a relationship with God, then God's will in your life is clear. God wants to change you. The question is, are you interested? Do you want change in your life? Do you want your spiritual reality to be altered? Do you want victory over sin? Do you want to grow? Do you want to take steps forward and move forward in your spiritual life? Do you want to become more conformed to the image of Christ? Do you want that change? And I hope if you're a born-again child of God, there's something inside of you that says, that's what I want. Well, then there's only one way that you can experience that change. And it's this idea, the idea of transparency. It is God's requirement for change. Now, the idea of transparency, the word transparency, means the state or property of a body by which it suffers rays of light to pass through it, so that objects could be distinctly seen through it. You're probably familiar with that. Almost all objects have these properties, whether an object is opaque, which means it doesn't allow any light to go through, or whether the object is translucent and allows just a little bit of light, but you can't really see through it, or something is fully transparent. The light freely passes through so you can clearly see that which is on the other side. This idea of transparency is the property which allows the free passage of light. You'll notice in our text the effect and the impact of the free flowing light that Paul speaks of in the passage. That when light is freely flowing in us and through us, there's great change that takes place because of that. There's some Bible words for this idea of transparency. Obviously, the word transparency is not found in the scriptures, but there are some biblical words for this idea of transparency. Words like honest or honesty. Words like confession. The idea of confession is coming clean, being forthright, being honest, being willing to acknowledge sin, and then being willing to allow God to forgive that sin and to work in your heart. Confession, that idea. There's also the word that's found in verse number 9. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That word truth is very important. Even Jesus, when he talked about this in John chapter 8, he said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth brings freedom. So to have this, have spiritual power in our lives, we have to operate in truth. And truth requires transparency. You see how important it is in our lives. I want to point out some truths about transparency tonight and just kind of get your wheels turning and thinking about this, and perhaps God will do in you the same thing that he did in me. First of all, I want you to consider the problem of transparency, the problem of transparency. There's a couple of truths that we know, but I'll just go through and touch on quickly. The first truth is this, that God is light. We know this, we've heard this before. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. God is light. The problem, though, is we are darkness. We see that in our text in verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. And in our sinful, fallen state, apart from Christ, we actually like darkness. We enjoy darkness, and Jesus tells us why in John chapter 3. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Sin is comfortable in the darkness. It detests light. It hates light. And that old man, that carnal nature that all of us have that forms the warfare in our Christian life, that old man, that sinful carnal man, it enjoys the darkness. It doesn't like being exposed. It reacts very negatively to the light of God's word being allowed to freely reach the innermost crevices and corners of our heart, exposing, yes, even the sin that's there. In verse 12 in our text, we see that sin thrives in secret. It says it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Why is it done in secret? Because it's sin, and it does not like the light, especially the light of God. And one of the reasons why we react negatively to the light of God's word is found in verse 13 in our text. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. What does light do to our sin? Light reproves our sin. It exposes it and it corrects it. You've heard this phrase, this common saying that sunlight is the greatest disinfectant, right? And it's the idea of you bring something out into the open, you bring some honesty, you bring some light to the situation, and there's a lot of healing that takes place when that happens. And so the problem of transparency is that God is light, but even, yes, we're saved, we've experienced salvation, but our fallen sinful nature rejects the idea of honesty, it rejects the idea of light, because it still wants to hold on to sin, it still wants to keep those pet sins in the corner of our hearts, you know, not the big overt ones that everyone can see, but just the little ones, and we don't like that transparency which exposes our sin. That is the problem of transparency. But I also want to speak to you tonight a little bit about the need. What is the need for transparency? And first of all, and we've already kind of mentioned this, but the first need for transparency is the fact that God, He requires it. God requires it. Do you remember when David fell into sin with Bathsheba? The prophet Nathan came and shed some light on his sin and pointed it out, exposed it. And David was broken over what he did. And he was broken over the impact that that had on his relationship with God. And he wrote Psalm 51. And in verse 6, in Psalm 51, he wrote this, "Behold, thou, God, desirest truth in the inward parts." Now, can I ask you a question? Does God know what is in the deepest recesses of your heart? Does He not already know that? So what is this idea of God desiring truth in our inward parts? He already knows it. Well, the idea is that God wants us, and God commands us, and He requires us to be open and honest with Him. Of course, it kind of starts with ourselves. We're going to see that in just a minute, but He wants us to be open and honest with Him. He desires truth in the inward parts. This idea of transparency and truth is required before we even come to salvation. Because repentance is not possible without the acknowledgement of sin. You can't repent of sin if you're denying that you have a sin problem. You can't repent of sin if you're defending your sin and really it's not so bad, or it really was right in that situation. You got to understand, you won't come to repentance if you're doing that. You won't come to repentance if you're deflecting and blaming other people for your sin. No, repentance requires the truth, the transparency to say that I am everything that God says that I am. Now, that's not a comfortable thing. There's a lot of things that God says about who I am. A lot of things that God says about what my heart is like. I don't necessarily like that truth. But repentance requires that I acknowledge that that is truth. God is right, and I am wrong. So transparency and truth is required for salvation. It's also required for forgiveness. Doesn't 1 John 1:9 say, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin? You probably hear this if you've done any outreach and talking to people, and Most people will say, well, doesn't God just forgive sin? Actually, no, he doesn't. I mean, first of all, you need the basis for that forgiveness. And of course, that's found in the person of Jesus Christ. God could not forgive and be just without Christ's death on the cross. But then God just doesn't, you know, turn a blind eye to sin. No, he requires confession. He requires us to come to the place where we acknowledge, like David did, my sin is ever before me. We acknowledge my sin. It is sin. It is wrong. It does violate God's law. I'm wrong. God is right. And that's required before we can get to a place of forgiveness. So God requires this idea of transparency. God requires truth in the inward parts of us. But not only does God require it, but submission demands transparency. Biblical transparency, I want you to get this and understand this, because this will really help in understanding exactly what God wants. Biblical transparency takes place when we allow the light of God's truth, the light that he speaks of in our text, the light of God's truth, to freely pass through us. Transparency is when we allow God's truth to freely pass through us, pass through our lives, exposing everything that's in its way. And this idea is an act of true submission. When we say, God, you are right. Your word is right. Your word is everything that I need. And I'm going to allow it to reprove, rebuke, and exhort every single area of my life. You cannot fully submit to God unless you're willing to be transparent with God. So submission demands it. Think about what David said in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. He said, "Search me, O God." This is the idea of transparency. Here I am. Nothing is being withheld. God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David's saying, I'm opening myself up to you, God. I'm allowing truth to flow freely. There's no areas that are off limits. There's no corners that I'm not allowing you in. Every part of my life is yours. Would you take me? Would you search me? Would you bring the light of your truth into my life and expose what needs to be changed? Submission demands transparency. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 8 and verse 12 when he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me," there's that idea of submission, "shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Submission demands transparency. But here's the problem, kind of hearkening back to our previous point. Hypocrisy detests transparency. In fact, you could say that they're the exact opposite. You have transparency on this side and hypocrisy or conformity on this side. They are the exact opposite. They cannot come together. They can't be in the same place. The idea of hypocrisy or conformity is the doer mentality. We perform as we conform. It's an exterior form of godliness. It's like it's a thin shell that we create around ourselves to hide a heart of what often becomes self-righteousness. It's a form of godliness on the outside. It's a skin. It's a layer of opaque Christianity. We're putting on airs. We're putting on all of the good works. We're trying to display ourselves as the perfect Christian, therefore blocking out the light of God's word from really penetrating our hearts. As long as we are performing, we can never be transparent. They do not go together. Of course, when we think about hypocrisy, we immediately think about the Pharisees. Matthew 23, 27, Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. There's that thin skin layer of perfection, of I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm displaying a performance. Look at me. Look at how I've got all of my ducks in a row. There's no problems. There's no issues. I am the perfect Christian. But then on the inside, the Pharisees were full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. That shell was just a veneer to hide the self-righteousness that was within. That shell was a layer of protection that would not allow the truth that Jesus was preaching and teaching. It would not allow, it detested the truth that Jesus was preaching and would not allow it to affect the heart. You say, how could these men, how could these students of the Old Testament, how could they not understand that Jesus was the Messiah? He was standing right there in front of them. Well, the light was running into an opaque substance. And when light runs into an opaque substance, it doesn't go any further. It stops right there. And the light of Christ, as it illuminated the world all around, as it changed people's lives, as it healed people, as it brought people to repentance and faith, I mean, there was all sorts of change going on all around them. And there you had the Pharisees, the whited sepulcher. Nothing's getting in, nothing is getting through. Because they refused this idea of transparency, their hypocrisy detested it. They just couldn't bring themselves to be transparent and allow the light of God's truth to flow into them. Romans 12 and verse 17 puts it this way, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be real. Be genuine. Be transparent. Even though that inner hypocrisy might not like it, and really, we'll get to number four here, this is where it all comes from, pride resists it. Why do we resist transparency? Why do we close off our lives from not only the light of God's truth, but also the fellowship of the brethren, that which we need to find help and to help us through, expose some of those things and help us through? Why do we resist that? It's our pride. Because it's hindered by our desire for everyone to think well of me. I want everyone to think that I am the perfect Christian. I want everyone to think that I don't struggle with sin. I want everyone to think that everything is perfect in my life. That's pride. It's the pride of life. It's the fear of man which brings a snare, and pride resists transparency. So we've seen the need for transparency and the problem of transparency and how that conflicts with us. But note number three now, the recipients of transparency. God does require transparency, but our world gets this all mixed up, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But God requires transparency, but he also requires transparency in the right relationships with the right people. We're not talking about somebody going and just emoting all over the place and dumping every corrupt thing that could ever come from their mind and heart on everyone else around them. That's not what we're talking about. But when we come to the biblical idea of transparency, there are five relationships where we need to pursue transparency. And here's how you can kind of view this list as a checklist. Like, am I being the transparent individual that God wants me to be? I need transparency in all five of these areas. First of all, and maybe these first two are kind of interchangeable, but first of all, we need to be honest. We need to be transparent with ourselves. I've met and talked to, tried in various times to help people who it became clear over a long period of time that they were habitual liars. And the reality was they were transparent to no one, not even themselves. It's like they as much as they lied to everyone else around them, they lied to themselves. And the scriptures speak about those who deceive themselves. Remember the man who is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word? Amen. James says that he deceives himself. Amen. He's not honest with himself. He's not transparent with himself. So we need to have some honesty and transparency with ourselves. Where am I? Where am I at? What are the needs in my life? What are some of the failures in my life? What are some of the pursuits in my life? What am I after? What am I doing? What is my life all about? Be honest with yourself. Be real with yourself. This one ties closely into the second one, so you can almost put these together. And this is where transparency starts, and that is with God Himself. You know, in the scriptures, we find a pattern of God asking His people questions. And those questions are not to discover information. God was not looking for more information that He did not have. The point of those questions was to bring His people to a point of transparency. Adam and Eve in the garden. Where are you? Did God know where they were? Have you eaten of the fruit? Did God know that they ate the fruit? Yes, He did. What was He doing? It's bringing them to a place where they were transparent with God, where they could finally confess, expose their heart before God. This is the reality. Yeah, we ran and hid from you. Yes, we sinned against you. And that was required. So God was asking these questions to bring His people to this point of transparency. You remember Cain? God comes to Cain and He says, "Why is your countenance fallen?" Did God know why Cain's countenance fell? Of course He did. Where is your brother? God knew where Abel was. God knew that Cain had killed Abel in his anger. God knew all of that. What was He doing? He was trying to bring Cain to a place of transparency in his relationship with God. In the New Testament, Jesus asked the rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." Let's talk about this. You need to kind of open up a little bit. Be transparent with me. Remember in the crowd when He was walking to the nobleman's house, and the woman with the issue of blood touched Him, and He stopped and He said, who touched me? Did He know who touched Him? Yeah, He knew that. What was He doing? He was bringing that woman to a place of transparency in her relationship with God, where she would finally, and I believe just a beautiful picture of salvation, where she had to trust that Jesus would not cast her out because of what she had done by really making Him unclean. She had to fall on His mercy. She had to finally get real in her relationship with God. You remember when Jesus was at the well, with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and He said, go and call your husband. Time to get real. Time to get transparent. Time to put all your cards on the table in your relationship with God. What's going on? Let's be real. God already knows. God already knew that she had five husbands, and the one that she was with at that point wasn't her. God knew that. Jesus knew that. But it was about her coming clean and understanding who Jesus was and her need to be transparent with Him. You know, God is seeking. He's looking for us to have real relationship with Him. Amen. And that real relationship with Him involves us being open to Him. It involves us being corrected by Him. It involves us being teachable by Him. That's the kind of relationship that God wants. If we do not have that kind of relationship, the change, the confirmation into the image of Christ, the transformation by the renewing of our mind, those things will not happen. And our Christian lives will just stagnate. They will not go any further. You look at people and you say, well, how could they call themselves a Christian? They have a testimony of being saved. How could they live like that? How could they do that? How could they be comfortable with that? I'll tell you how. Somewhere along the line, they stopped being transparent with God. Amen. They stopped having a real relationship with God where they were open, correctable, and teachable. Good. And they got to a place where they said, you know what? I've made some progress. God's done some change in my life. I'm comfortable right here. And they put it in park and it doesn't go any further. And the reality is there's huge blind spots in their lives that everybody sees, but they don't. And I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that gives me great fear in the right kind of sense in my heart, would be that there would be blind spots that they're obvious to everyone else who's looking on, but I don't see them. That scares me. Right. But it doesn't really need to scare me, because I know if I am open in my relationship with God, the Holy Spirit's going to bring me to a place where we're going to deal with this. Amen. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to change some things. So we need to be transparent in our relationships with ourselves. We need to be transparent in our relationship with God. We need to be transparent in our family relationships. Now, depending on where you are in life, this might be different based on your specific situation. But husbands and wives, you need to be transparent with your spouse. There ought to be no secrets between you and your spouse. You need to be open and honest and transparent with the person that God gave to you. The problem is, as communication breaks down, we lack that transparency, and all sorts of issues come as a result of that. Young people, your primary family relationship is with your parents, and you need to be open and honest and transparent with your parents. It's the devil who works and gets you to hide things, to go off secretly and do things without them knowing. That's the devil. You can mark it down every single time. And if you have to hide it, you already know it's wrong. You're not being transparent. You're not being honest in your primary family relationship. So we need transparency in our relationship, in our relationships within our family. We also need transparency in our relationship to the spiritual authority in our lives. God placed you under spiritual authority. If God puts you as a member of this church, then God has placed you under the spiritual authority of her pastors. One of the more burdening parts of ministry is seeing the process take place where someone starts to wander, and every single time you will sense a wall being erected. Every single time there will be a distancing. There will be a lack of transparency. Oh, that doesn't mean they don't come to church. They come to church. They put the suit and tie on. They do all the things that a Christian should do. But there's something there. Amen. It hinders their growth. And eventually they drift and drift and drift. And now the devil has his way with them, because they refuse to be transparent with the relationship that God had given to them. By the way, this idea of being under spiritual authority, this is not a yoke. It's not a burden. It's actually a gift that God has given to you. It's a resource that He's given to you. And too many Christians, they have this distance between them and the spiritual authority that God's put in their lives. And of course, we know that the Bible tells us that part of that authority is those in spiritual authority will give an account of your life. They watch for your soul. How can they watch if they have no idea what's going on? Because you've shut it down. You've closed it off. You cut yourself off. You hurt yourself. So if we're truly transparent, we're going to be pursuing transparency in these relationships with ourselves, with God, with our primary family relationship, with our spiritual authority. And don't miss this one, because this one's also extremely important, and that's with the brethren. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of relationship where we unload on everybody, but we ought to be seeking relationships within the body of Christ where God has put us, where we can have true, real transparency. Where we can truly, the biblical word is fellowship. Where we can fellowship, and not just in, hey, we like to laugh and joke around and talk about the weather and sports and stuff like that together. That's not fellowship. Real fellowship is when we talk about, here's what God's doing in my life. Here's how God is teaching me. Here's an area of weakness that, you know, I was really struggling with, but God has given me some victory. Or perhaps here's an area of where I'm struggling and I need some help. I need some accountability. I need a transparent relationship. Because that transparency is allowing God's light. And if we resist that relationship in any of these areas, we'll put up walls, we'll put up barriers whereby the truth of God's word cannot penetrate us. It can't work through us. We'll live with blind spots. We'll live with sin. We'll have no clue it's even there. We need to pursue transparency in all of these areas. Now, let me just add this because this is important. Because the world has this idea of transparency completely upside down, especially right now, in the idea of, you know, everyone is seeking to be their true, authentic self. You just need to be your true and authentic self. But here's the problem. The world seeks transparency with all the wrong people. So that's why we have people just unloading and dumping on social media every wicked thought or desire that they could ever have. I'm being my true, authentic self, perhaps, but you have transparency in all the wrong areas and in none of the right areas. I mean, this happens in a marriage, right, where a husband becomes transparent with another lady at work or perhaps someone they've met online and they begin to talk and that relationship. And what happens is that transparency grows and wanes. It grows in all the wrong areas, and it wanes in all the right areas. This happens with young people, where they're fully transparent with a quote-unquote friend. They've shared everything. All the ways that they're upset, all the rules they don't like, and all the things that they think is just stupid, and I shouldn't have to do all these things. They've shared that with their friends. But when it comes to their parents, it's all closed off. We have to have transparency in the right relationships with the right people, the people that God has given to us. God has placed you in a relationship with Him. God has put you in the family that you're in. God has put you in the church that you're in with spiritual authority as well as brethren to help you pursue after God. The recipients of transparency. Let me give you one more thing, because here's where it gets exciting. This is the good part. What are the results then of transparency? If we pursue after this idea in our lives, what are the results that we can expect to receive? Well, first of all, we won't spend much time here. We've already mentioned it. The first result is salvation. You will not ever come to a place of salvation until you're ready to do business with God, until you're ready to be real with God. Amen. It ain't going to happen. And I've seen a lot of people, they talk, boy, I'd like to be saved, but you know, I'm just struggling, and I just don't know, and a lot of it's because you just don't want to be real with God. You want to keep that spiritual veneer in place. I'm really a good person. And, you know, I'm not like those. Yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm not like those sinners there. Not like them. You're refusing to get real with God. And you know what? Salvation's never going to come. Because this is a requirement for salvation. But if you get real with God, you'd be willing to acknowledge your sin. Say, God, here, this is who I am. But I don't want to be this way. And I know you're the only one who can change me. Good. Salvation comes as a result. You approach God in that way. Amen. The second result of transparency in those five primary relationships, we experience sanctification, change. You know, in verse 13 in our text, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Biblical transparency exposes our blind spots. It exposes the dark side that all of us have. It's called your flesh, your carnal nature. It brings that to the light so that now you can actually deal with those issues. Otherwise, you don't even know that they're there. And you think, well, everything is wonderful. It's great. If we be transparent with God, He's going to bring about change. He's going to bring about sanctification. Now, this is going to require that we are in God's Word. We're in fellowship with God. We're exposing ourselves to the light of God. But that is going to require some some transparency on our part to allow that light to penetrate our lives, to expose the deepest recesses and corners of our spiritual life. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 is a neat verse. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." And I believe this is talking about a saved individual. So God's light has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we allow the light of truth and the light of God to flow through us, we experience true relationship with Christ. We draw closer to Christ. We are further changed and conformed to the image of Christ. People who become truthful and transparent in their relationship with God, they're truthful and transparent in their relationship with their spiritual leaders, with the brethren and biblical fellowship, those individuals unlock a tremendous power in their lives. Power that does not exist without this idea of transparency. So it produces salvation. It produces sanctification. It also produces protection. I wish we had time to go there. I think I have this on the screen there. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Listen to what this verse says. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Well, that's an interesting thought. You know, people often fear transparency because it makes them feel vulnerable, unprotected, risk of, you know, they're at risk of somehow being hurt. But the truth is, the only true protection, the only true armor comes by allowing God's light to shine in us and through us. It's protection. It really is. So it produces sanctification, it produces salvation, it produces protection, but it also produces evangelization. Because biblical transparency allows, when we've allowed God's truth to shine in us and then through us, people can see Christ freely through you. This is why in Matthew chapter 5, in our verses from last year, the emphasis is on light. You are the light. You're the light of the world. You don't put a candle underneath a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick so that it can give light to the house. Let your light so shine before men. In order to have light, we have to receive light and allow that light to pass freely through us. No hindrances, no things that are off limits. And then we can take that light and shine it to others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's evangelization. And then that verse mentions this as well, but there's glorification. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says that we are to have our conversation honest. There's that transparency again. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Others will be able to see Jesus shining through you. But only if you choose to live a life of transparency. Only if you choose to allow the truth of God to shine freely through you. So can I ask you tonight, are you leading a life of transparency? I'm amazed by the amount of Christians who come into a church building, put on airs that everything is good, everything's perfect, no problems here, everything is wonderful. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. It's good to be in God's house today. And underneath the surface, there's all sorts of sin, problems, issues. You know, if we have to hide something, we tell this to our young people, we tell this to our teenagers and our children, but it's true for us as well. If you have to hide something, you already know it's wrong. You already know there's a problem there. Some of you, for some of you, it could even be a an area of sin, of unrighteousness in your life. You know it's wrong. You struggle and struggle and you can't get victory. And I think one of the reasons why you can't get victory is you haven't availed yourself of the relationships, of the tools that God has given you. You haven't been willing to come clean and confess. This is my problem and I need help. Now, the world does this in the wrong way. It's just like, this is my problem and you deal with it. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, this is my problem and I need help. And so therefore, I'm going to utilize, I'm going to meet God's requirement for change. And that is me being honest in my spiritual relationships that God has placed me in. Sometimes that is the only way of true victory. Ask yourself this question: are you owning up to your faults and failures? Or are you pretending to be someone else? Are you taking responsibility for areas of failure, for areas of sin in your life? Are you daily walking with God and being transparent with Him? If you want to know what this looks like, just read the book of Psalms. David's relationship with God. Fully open, fully transparent, fully teachable. And you see him express some things, some emotions that aren't quite what they ought to be, but he allows God to teach him and correct him and bring him to the place where he needs to be. That's the kind of transparent relationship God wants to have with us. Amen. Are you being open and honest in your primary family relationship with your spouse, with your parents, with your spiritual authorities? Or am I choosing to shut down and not allowing anyone or anything inside? And then in our church, family, this church body that God's placed you in, are you seeking transparent relationships within the Lord's church to help you, to help me? I need this as well. I need transparent relationships in the body that God has placed me in. I need that in order so that I could be all that God wants me to be. Transparency is God's requirement for change.